Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time, $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
I can't imagine better music to wake up to. Absolutely cannot imagine. I have managed to incorporate Star Wars references into many areas of my career. For instance, whenever an athlete makes the leap to the media world, I always say to him or her, welcome to the dark side. The Imperial March is a perfect welcome to the dark side. Maybe on this Thursday, you're feeling that, a welcome to the dark side of the
Force. It's the dark side. Embrace it.
Oh, except Kyrie's there. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Actually, producer Jay and I have plans to see Empire Strikes Back in concert. Sounds funny, but they play the movie at a concert venue, and then the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra will play the score, perform the score live while the music is while the movie is taking place. And I've done this before for Return of the Jedi with the NJSO. Jay's never done it. And we're actually meeting some coworkers from elsewhere in the building. So this is going to be hysterically amazing. I say hysterically because I am a total crier when it comes to these types of things. And Jay is going to want to distance himself from me when I'm crying over Star Wars and the music.
I don't know.
You think you might cry?
There's a chance. It might take over me. I don't know.
It's coming up later in the month of May. They are not doing it this weekend. Good thing, because I wouldn't be able to go. I've got this whole half marathon thing that's become a bit of an inconvenience. But yes, later in the month. Can't wait. Absolutely can't wait. And so that will be the two of the three that I will have seen. And I suspect that before the end of the year, there'll be some Star Wars New Hope as well. What are you doing?
Ewoks.
I know. I'm not really.
Did you catch what he said?
Mm-hmm. Ewoks. It's nice. It's actually a great debate among Star Wars people. Jar Jar Binks is one of the great debates. I would say more Star Wars lovers than not wish there were no Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I don't love him, but I do like the Gungan storyline with, anyway, going back to the prequels, I do like the Gungan storyline with the planet of Naboo. Anyway, it's getting in the weeds. Jar Jar Binks is a lightning rod. Ewoks also. Because if you ask me my favorite Star Wars movie of all time, the answer will forever be Return of the Jedi. I still cry at the end every single time because I'm such a Star Wars sap and I'm okay with that. I still tear up every single time.
Nothing wrong with that.
Thank you. However, I have debates with people who will not list Return of the Jedi as their favorite Star Wars movie of all time because of the Ewoks. Okay. Knock it off. Knock it off.
I mean, they're not. They're fine. I like them.
They're
not,
fine.
They don't ruin
they're
the movie
they're
by
totally
any means,
fine. No, there are some people. A former guy that I used to date, he actually believes Ewoks ruined the movie.
No, that's crazy.
That it's a little bit over the top.
It's like Jar Jar. He didn't ruin the movie. Like, could they have done without him? Sure.
No, because then what would have been the connection to the Gungans? Plus, he's funny.
No, he's very funny.
And he's actually in the Clone Wars, too, which is great.
Do you know there's a whole bunch of, like, you can go down rabbit holes with Jar Jar Binks. People say he was a Sith Lord. There's so many crazy things.
What?
Yep.
No.
That's a real, like, conspiracy.
He killed people with his ears? No, come on. He was... Oh, that's hysterical. Okay, well, we could spend an entire hour talking about how it's Star Wars Day, but I won't. I just want you to be forewarned. Oh, forewarned. Haha. May the forewarned be with you. It is everywhere you look, so you might as well embrace the dark side or just stay off the internet all day long. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Please connect with me if you are a fellow Star Wars nerd. I actually had some people ask me on social media whether or not I'd be watching the movies or if I would read a book instead. Yeah, it's a Thursday. It's a work day, so I won't be able to do that until the weekend. But there is a Star Wars movie night in my future. With Bob, we figured it out. We figured out how to watch movies long distance, and we're falling through the Star Wars black hole, if you will.
There's no coming out. And this is Bob's like first time running through
the mall.
Did you
say there's no coming out of the Star Wars black hole?
You're sucked in.
I wonder if I should tell him what happened to you after we started working together.
Yeah.
You became a giant Star Wars nerd. And now that you are, you can't get out of said Star Wars black hole.
Literally just getting
should
deeper.
I warn him? Or do you think it should just be part? It just come with the territory. If you want me, you have to have Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I also wouldn't say it's like a negative. Like, I generally enjoy it, so.
Genuinely,
I meant. Genuine words.
You genuinely.
Genuinely.
Genuinely. Okay, Jar Jar Binks.
I burnt my tongue on the pod racing laser.
Now, how about that obscure reference? That didn't even come from me. That came from producer Jay. But here's what I was kind of leading you down this path, and I was hoping that you would say, you should tell Bob. Are you ready? It's a trap.
When he understands
where's
that reference.
Where's my Admiral Akbar? It's a trap. You should have it. All you got to do is Google it, and you'll find it. One of the most iconic Star Wars lines of all time. Plus, you've got the Yoda lines, which never go out of style. Do or do not. There is no try. I feel like you should just be dropping Star Wars lines in the rest of the hour.
I'm trying. There's just YouTube's giving me a hard time.
YouTube. You just ruined all the aura. These should just be because of the Force. The Force should be the reason that you're able to drum up these iconic lines. Instead, you're in there Googling on YouTube.
Be with us.
We've got to be able to get some kind of a reading on it.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. How do they know?
They're jamming us if they don't know. If we're coming.
Break off the attack.
Here it comes.
The shield is still up.
Here it is.
I got no reading. Are you sure?
Pull up. All craft, pull up.
Take a base of action. Green group, stay across the holding sector of each other.
We have enemy ships in
Sector 47. It's a trap.
This might be the most important show we've ever done. That's the most extensive Star Wars montage we've ever used here on the show. Producer Jay, did you know? Could you feel the anticipation building?
It was great.
It's a trap.
I'm still mad at them, though, at Disney for so unceremoniously getting rid of Admiral Akbar. In what was that, episode 8?
The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
When Leia nearly died and then flew through the air with the greatest of ease?
Admiral Akbar. He just gets blown up into 1,000 pieces. He's been a rebel pilot for like 30 years.
Not pilot. He's an admiral.
He's an admiral. Exactly. Even worse. He's an admiral for 30 years giving his service and they just, let's see ya. How many movies did he survive in? And they didn't even give him a goodbye. It's crazy.
Yep. Agreed. I agree. Listen to Jay's passion. I can't take credit for all of that. Some of that is simply from the nether reaches of Jay's brain / Star Wars loving heart. So may the 4th be with you on this Star Wars day. I'm happy. I'm loving the various social media memes and photos and gifts that you're sending me. So keep those coming. A-Law Radio on our Facebook page. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, yeah, sports. What if I told you that Joel Embiid the NBA MVP would return for the Philadelphia 76ers in game two in Boston. And Jason Tatum would have his worst game of the playoffs, in large part due to foul trouble. I don't even think he played 20 minutes last night. He made just one field goal all night and then five free throws. Jason Tatum finished with 7 points. And then you're, of course, thinking about the hot shooting of one James Harden in game one, the depth of what the Sixers have been able to do so far in the playoffs with Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey. And yeah, all of that, except the NBA is weird.
His name is Jason Taylor.
And Jason Taylor wasn't needed. Instead, what it took was some good old-fashioned defense by the Celtics.
Tatum lobs on the inside. Al Horford finds the cutter. Jaylen attacks right-hand slam. That's what happens. Embiid works for 20 seconds and then can't get back in position.
Well, he got back. He got back time enough to see it get dunked in his face.
Oh!
Going to go right at Embiid. Pump fake turns, throws it back out of the wing for a Brogdon three.
That was sweet. Sweet!
Steal in the backcourt. Jaylen Brown finds Derek White and scoops it up and in. Celtics score 5 points in 2 seconds, and they lead by 21. Timeout, Doc Rivers.
What did I say about them 5 minutes? You got two more right now. If you want to solidify this doggone game.
Celtics do. Jaylen Brown for Brogdon. Going to try the three for the right side. Got it. And the route is on.
Sandwich time, please.
A 13-0 Boston run. They lead by 26. Rob Williams, loose ball. Lead to Brogdon. Sixers almost done here. Brogdon pull up three. Good night.
They're pouring the mustard, the ketchup, the peanut butter on these dudes now.
A 31-9 bludgeoning here in the third quarter of game two, and the Celtics have a 29-point lead.
Cook them.
He went from a sandwich to cooking. Cedric Maxwell along with Sean Grandy on Celtics radio. Yeah, how did that happen? A 36-point lead, courtesy of an overwhelming third quarter. When it was all said and done, the Celtics had outscored the Sixers by 17 in that quarter alone.
Cook 'em.
I take it back. 19. My mom's a math teacher. 19 in that quarter alone, and they were definitely cooked after that. 36-point lead in a playoff game. That's about as outrageous as the Lakers drubbing the Grizzlies by 40 in what was a closeout game. Sometimes the NBA is just strange. But if you watch the game, you recognize the Celtics' tenacious defense, really that marked their journey through the playoffs to the NBA Finals last year, was back. Yeah, Jason Tatum was in some foul trouble. But man, the rest of the Celtics, they were using the defense, and then they were getting up court, and they were turning that D into offense. And the three-pointers. They took a lot more threes in this game. Took 51. Without looking at the box score, 51 is what I remember. And they made 20 of them. 20 made triples for the Celtics, only six for the, for the Sixers. Well, at least there's consistency. So as it turns out, a lot of extra edge, a lot of extra intensity. Obviously, the Celtics couldn't afford to go down 0-2 in Boston. And what they didn't get from Jason Tatum, they got from Malcolm Brogdon off the bench.
We responded. We were resilient. I thought it started with JB. He set the tone. And, you know, it's about setting the tone for the next game. You know, this is one game. They came out and played a great game, the first one. James played great. I thought tonight we, you know, flipped the script. I thought we did a great job on him and great job overall. But that's one game, and it doesn't mean anything if there's no carryover.
Malcolm Brogdon with 23 and then six rebounds as well. And then Jaylen Brown, who led all scorers with 25. Yeah, Joel Embiid was back, shaking a little rust off.
I think they were themselves. I think that, you know, they came out, you know, gave us a good punch in the first and second quarter. Embiid, despite him, you know, having some knee issues, I guess, he still had like 4 or 5 block shots. So, you know, he looked good to me. So we'll see about the next game.
I think it was important for Joel to come back in this game for a couple reasons. Number one, he hadn't played in 2 weeks. So he needed to try to get out there. And it's the whole proverbial shake the rust off, but also to try to get his sea legs under him. He had gone through workouts Tuesday, Wednesday. There were no red flags, no pain with that knee sprain. But he wasn't going to be able to play 40 minutes, nor was it needed. He ends up with 27 minutes on court, 15 points, 5 block shots. So he was busy on the defensive end. You could see there were some times when the Celtics were altering shots or altering the path to the hoop because of Joel.
I'm okay. Felt pretty good, to go up and down. A little bit, and body feels pretty good. Yesterday was the first time I really did something going up and down, in 2 weeks. So I was pretty surprised of, but then again, said it earlier, I've grown a lot, and I found ways to take care of myself. Obviously, there's nothing like actually playing a game and finding your rhythm and going up and down. So at times you kind of feel, tired. But, I thought tonight was fine. Should be better as every day goes on.
Good to see him back on the court. And, of course, they got the opener, which is huge. But they had no James Harden last night. He was MIA. I suppose the opener, he kind of used up his allotment of made threes.
The guy is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, all right. Harden goes 0 for 6 from beyond the arc, 2 of 14 from the field. Well, so now what? Back to the drawing board for the Sixers. Interesting to hear Doc Rivers say they folded under the pressure.
It's funny. We talked about it this morning. Talked about it before the game. But you can talk about intensity and force all you want. But when you get on the court and it's actually being applied to you, you have to be able to handle it. We didn't handle it very well tonight. Well, we'll be better.
That I believe. I like an even series. After 2 games, I'm already thinking ahead to a game 7. Bring it. Let's go. The Sixers and Celtics are 2 teams that come at this from a different angle, though. And there's always the mental aspect. The pressure aspect, if you will, and I don't mean defensive pressure. The Sixers have run into the second round and this current iteration of Sixers, that's been their kryptonite, the second round. It's 2 and done for the Sixers. Now you've got the MVP. You've got a deeper team than you've ever had. You worked hard to get to this position where you had a sweep in the opener of the opening round and had some time off. Joel Embiid is back on the court. You take the opener from the Celtics, but you got to follow that up. You got to follow it up with a really strong game 3. Protect your home court. You give it right back to the Celtics. There goes your advantage. The Celtics, meanwhile, went to the NBA Finals a year ago. They do have the home court. They know they'll get games back there. And they're playing from a position of strength. The advantage for them has been there, done that. The advantage for them is this is essentially the same group. Not exactly, but essentially the same group. And the Sixers know it. It's not just the Celtics who know it. The Sixers know it too. So I love the mental edge, the mental advantage that the Celtics have initially, but the Sixers can grab it if they can protect their home court. This isn't just a physical game. It's also the momentum, the pressure, how these next couple games in Philadelphia play out determine who's got the advantage, who's got that mental edge. It's mind games, if you will. It's not just the physical, it's also the mental and the emotional, for sure. We also had a couple of playoff hockey games last night. And if you missed my conversation with Jack Michaels, who's the play-by-play voice of the Edmonton Oilers, good stuff with him. You can catch it on the podcast. Second consecutive night in which a guy on the losing team scores 4 goals. I haven't had a chance to look that up yet. I need to check it out on NHL Twitter and see if they made any reference to it. But I've been too busy looking at Star Wars Twitter. Some dude just wrote to me and said, it must be a slow sports night. It's May, so no. It's not a slow sports night. I honestly thought that in 2023, we were past the whole stick to sports thing. Also, it's me. When do I ever? Not in 11 years. But okay. My favorite ever of the stick to sports crowd was during the pandemic when we were supposed to stick to sports.
Ready to standing by.
All right. Jay's in there. He's not paying any attention to what I'm saying at all. All he cares about right now is finding iconic Star Wars lines. That's good, Jay. It's why you make the big bucks.
That's it.
That's it. Oh, my goodness. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Ed is mad at me because I picked Return of the Jedi as my favorite Star Wars film. Here's the thing. I don't want to be stereotypical about men, but every man I know says Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie. Jay, which one is yours? Do you not want to be like every other man I know?
I mean, Empire Strikes Back is incredible.
Yeah. I had this conversation with Bob, and we were supposed to guess each other's favorite Star Wars movie. I right away went to Empire Strikes Back. How did you know? He said, "It's like, well."
Well, Empire Strikes Back is one of those where you don't even have to be a Star Wars fan because it's just like a great film in itself. Mm-hmm. Like, you can watch it not knowing anything and just be like, wow, that was a really good movie.
Yes.
But if you're a Star Wars fan, it just makes it that much better.
It is good. I will agree with you. It's amazing. But I don't like the fact that it ends the way that it does. I need to finish the. It all comes together in Return of the Jedi. Plus, I love Luke's arc in the Return of the Jedi and the fact that he faces his father and, you know, all that. You know.
You know, unpopular answer, but I really like Revenge of the Sith.
Of the original, or of the prequels, excuse me, it does tie together nicely.
It really does. It's
and actually,
great.
After I watched the whole Clone Wars series, seasons 1 through 7, which takes place between Eps 2 and 3, changed my entire perspective on both the Attack of the Clones as well as Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, that's what I got to do next.
Oh, you do. I've been telling you how long for a year now?
I know. Well, I had my incident with the plane where the internet was. I tried to download them. The internet wasn't working.
Yeah, there's always some excuse. This is what I've learned about Jay in a year and a half. There's always an excuse.
Not accurate, but.
All right. May the 4th be with you. Good morning. It's a Thursday. If you don't mark Star Wars Day, well, then it's just your average run-of-the-mill Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm so sad for you. Here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Fighting into position, Pulisar to the net, a shot.
This is Flea for This Little Light, a podcast about falling in love with music. I started a nonprofit music school about 20 years ago called the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. The reason that I started doing this podcast was music education. I'll be speaking with Rick Rubin, Thundercat, Stuart Copeland, Margot Price, Corey Henry, Cynthia Erivo, Sheila E., and Patti Smith.
Please listen and follow This Little Light, a presentation of Cadence 13 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Off the rush, a save, Skinner. The rebound cleared by Ekholm. Up the left-hand side, McDavid with Hyman in front. Taylor Dreisaitl shoots and scores. He has 4! And Edmonton back within 5-4.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, there's good news and there's bad news for the Edmonton Oilers. Well, good news is they got 4 goals from Leon Dreisaitl. Bad news is Connor McDavid was robbed a couple times and they did not get a goal from anyone else. Good news is that it was the first time since March 20th the Oilers had actually trailed going into the third period of a game. How about that stat? First time since March 20th the Oilers had trailed heading into a third period. Within a couple minutes of the third period, they score the great equalizer. At the time, it was Draisaitl's hat trick. It was his third goal. Within, 90 seconds, it felt like the Golden Knights had answered with two goals of their own. So it was a bit of a roller coaster ride there. And that's really the turning point. Is early in the third period, Draisaitl gets the hat trick. The game is tied, but boom, boom, just like that, the Golden Knights answer. And from that point on, they led the rest of the way, even though Leon did end up with his fourth goal. So when we asked the question, or when we posed the question to Leon Draisaitl about, you know, his attitude.
Why are you so pissy, Leon?
Right. Well, there's an answer to that. The answer to that is that they lost the game. And they gave up a lot of goals, a lot of shots to the Golden Knights.
It's definitely a different looking team, different system. But yeah, we just overall weren't good enough. You know, it's not even close to how we play and how we successfully play. So gotta move on and we'll be better.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Well, he answered that question, didn't he?
Why are you so pissy, Leon?
We already answered the question. Don't need to ask it again. Stop badgering the witness. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jack Michaels with the calls on Oilers Radio. And we actually had him on the show from Vegas. It was great. He was outside in Vegas and you can hear the whatever was going on. There's music. There's cars. He was outside once the game was over and we had a chance to connect. It was midnight Vegas time. So worked out perfectly. As for the other hockey game last night, the New Jersey Devils, whoops, they're never going to invite me back to the Prudential Center. The Islanders were the first round opponent for the Carolina Hurricanes, okay? So the Hurricanes have been sitting around for a couple extra days waiting for the end of this Rangers-Devils series that went to a game 7. Not even 48 hours after the Devils dispatched the Rangers, they have to be in Raleigh for game 1. And certainly, at least initially, it felt to me like they were tired. There was a bit of a mental hangover, too. They only had one shot in the first period. One shot. And when the Canes, or when your opponent has more goals than you have shots, that's a bad sign. So the Hurricanes got out of the first period with two goals, and the Devils managed one shot.
Just want to add that one shot wasn't even a shot. It was just a dump in the zone, and it just happened to trickle and make a bounce on net. So it really wasn't even a look.
Yeah, it was an accidental shot, right, if you will. Yoda, do or do not. There is no try. Yeah, the Rangers, they took the best of the Devils in those 7 games, and I know they'll find their footing. I know they will rally. The thing is, the Hurricanes, this is what they do. The volume of shots, they like to be really active in front of the net. They obviously want to be aggressive, certainly wanted to be able to take the advantage right away. And so even as New Jersey found a rhythm a little bit later on, you could see it. You could see them get a little more comfortable. By that time, they were already in a hole. So really never had a chance to get into their rhythm. But for the Canes, they were fast, they were physical, they were using their formula, and they looked good. Though, of course, Brady Shea, what do you have, one goal? Brady Shea, part of the equation. There are a lot of guys that were scoring for the Hurricanes last night. He knows you can't just expect it's going to be like this every game.
They came off of really emotional Game 7. I don't think they had the start they were looking for. We know that, you know, games coming up here, they're going to be really flying. So, our start was just how we wanted it.
You have to look at this game as another lesson from series to series. I can only imagine, you know, the emotion and the amount of people telling you what an unbelievable game the previous one was. We all felt the same way. Uh-huh. I dealt with it. Players are going to deal with it. You start thinking this is pretty good. And then you get an eye opener tonight.
Mm. When these two teams are both locked in, think about the speed on the ice between the Devils and the Canes. Wowzers. I like it. I'm looking forward to seeing the Devils more along the lines of what we would expect. But yeah, Canes definitely had an advantage to be going back to Friday, right? They were off since Friday when they took out the trash with the Islanders. They disposed of, there's another trash reference. They disposed of the Islanders. So they had a couple of extra days and were able to be home. And they earned that. It's not as though it's an unfair advantage. They definitely earned it. But yeah, not a good formula for winning hockey. You give up more goals in a period than you have shots. That's
not great.
No, it's not great at all. So you win some, you lose some. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Okay, I love all the Star Wars stuff, except for the guy who just sent me, are you ready? A meme, Star Wars Day, May the 4th with Jean-Luc Picard. That's wrong. That's wrong. I caught you. That's wrong, Andrew.
That's got to be a troll, right?
Well, he's a real person, but yes, definitely a troll.
He knew what he was doing. There's no way you're saying May the 4th with...
No, he did it on purpose.
He's got to. Yeah, it's got to.
Unless he has no idea what Star Wars is all about, and he just got duped by someone else's meme on Twitter.
It's like offensive. A little bit.
To whom? Star Wars Day or Jean-Luc?
Like, I don't know. Just
Jean-Luc Picard.
The universe.
The Star Wars universe. There you go. May the 4th be with you. All right, let's see. What do we want to do? Oh, gosh. This is actually be fun. Heading up to the top of the hour. Sauce Gardner. His new BFF, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, just wait.
I got engaged.
No, stop. You are just wrong as well. You're just mad because the Jets are getting so much attention and the Giants are operating in relative anonymity right now.
I hadn't really thought about that. We talked about it yesterday. I'm actually happy for Aaron. He looks great. He looks good. He's having a good time. Good for him.
Definitely he's having a good time.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing. Help save lives. And so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.
It's been great. I mean, everything is new. It's like the first day of school every single day. There's new people to meet. And got to figure out your routine and, you know, where the laundry loops go and, you know, mail and cleats and weight room shoes and all the stuff. Everything's new and exciting and fun. I'm just pinching myself a lot of days. Just I can't believe, it's real sometimes. So it's been a dream for sure just to be here. Definitely feel energized to be in the building.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The unmistakable voice of one Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show. This week, a guest appearance, if you will, a surprise maybe too, in honor of Pat McAfee's birthday. Of course, there was a lot to say because, as you know, Aaron is the belle of the ball in New York City right now, attending playoff games, getting standing ovations at Madison Square Garden, or maybe it was Sauce Gardner who was getting standing ovations at Madison Square Garden. As it turns out, he was the latest to have the opportunity to go to a game with Aaron. I wonder if that's how it's going to work. Aaron's the guy who gets invited and he can bring a plus one. And this time it's Sauce Gardner.
I'd say that's the way it's going to be. Yeah, he'll choose.
For Sauce Gardner, I mean, all of a sudden he's in the spotlight like he's never been before.
And it was great, you know, just being able to be around a veteran guy like him, you know, a down-to-earth guy who, you know, I didn't know he was that funny, you know, just being able to spend some time with him. It was great, man. You know, everybody knew who he was. So it was like I was able to just try to be in his shadow a little bit.
Oh, his shadow.
You know what I mean? So, but it was a great feeling.
All right. I mean, do we really need to fill Aaron's head with talk about how I'm just happy to be in his shadow. Also, Quincy Williams saying on Wednesday he was starstruck. First time he saw him, he's starstruck. Oh my gosh.
For me, it was just wanting to have a bigger impact.
No wonder Aaron Rodgers loves New York after a week. People are buying him pizza, saying to him, welcome to town. We love you.
Pretty brisk. Pretty nice.
Treating him like he's the savior of the universe. And then he goes to MSG, and every 5 seconds he's up on the big screen. This is Pat McAfee and the way that he gives Aaron this platform where he's so comfortable to share from his heart. Well, now in New York, nothing that Aaron does was wrong. Well, until the Jets start out with a couple of losses, then all of a sudden. We're asking you on our social media, and I'm genuinely interested in your answers. Which team has the better record in 2023? Is it the Jets or is it the Packers? Right now, here I'm going to retweet so we can get it out there for the early morning crowd. Right now, the Jets have a sizable lead in this particular poll. Wow, I didn't realize, Jay, that you were retweeting photos and greetings of May the 4th be with you. All right, we're getting inundated. I love it. That has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, except he might be on the dark side. So the Jets have a sizable lead in this poll. Who finishes 2023 with a better record, Jets or Packers? I, of course, voted for the Packers just because I felt like they were going to come up short. Right now, the Jets are the flavor of the month. Let's be fair. The other question that we asked, and this is more rhetorical, but I did make Jay participate in the exercise. Over under how many nationally televised games for the New York Jets? Because it's such a coinky dink that the NFL schedule release is a week from today. Of course they waited until the trade was official so they could determine how many times Aaron Rodgers and the Jets will be on national TV. Poor Dan Campbell. He's going to be asking the same question again. Who says we can't get flexed?
Who says we can't get flexed?
Because now that the NFC North is up for grabs and, oh, there's such great Star Wars memes being... I'm sorry. I'm very excited because people keep sending me Star Wars Day references and Star Wars memes and GIFs, and I get very distracted. I mean, it is May, so there's not a whole
lot. I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.
I am definitely a lunatic, but maybe Dan Campbell, there's hope for him. Anyway, Dan Campbell's going to be asking that same question again, right? Because all the nationally televised games that might have gone to the Lions or to any of the teams in the NFC North are going to end up with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
I'm just rambling right now. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Is that some type of a hint?
That was more just that Dan Campbell, and he's talking to the air. He's not going to get flexed.
I set the over-under. I set the line at 9, the over-under line at 9. Jay went under. I'm going over. I'm saying double-figure nationally televised games for the Jets.
Oh, that's too many.
That includes holidays. It includes whatever they might be on CBS or Fox, just in the late game window on Sundays. It includes Thursday Night Football. I know it's Amazon Prime, but it's still nationally televised, which is why people were groaning so much about the number of times the Broncos were going to be on national TV. And it includes Sunday Night and Monday Night Football. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the NFL plays pretty much every day of the week now. Last year, they played on Fridays, too. It's a thing. The NFL has urban sprawl. They're never going to give up the real estate that they've accumulated since the pandemic when they literally played Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're creeping. They're just that's what they do. They creep, and you can't get rid of them. It's like one of those vines. Once it starts creeping, there's no way to get... You have to burn it to the ground to get it to die. That's the NFL. You have to burn it to the ground to get it to stop creeping on you. Anyway... The Jets are going to be on national TV a ton. What's the record, do you think? I wonder if you could.
Let me see.
I wonder if you could Google that. The record for most nationally televised games. I wonder if it would be the Buccaneers in 2020 when Tom Brady was with them. But even last year, the AFC West was the flavor of the month, essentially.
Last year, there were 13 teams that had five scheduled primetime games.
That's primetime. That's not nationally televised.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm going over. Going to the over. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Why would you ask this question of Sauce Gardner? This to me is just wrong. Who cares who pays for dinner? Did Aaron Rodgers pay for dinner?
Oh, yeah. He did. He covered a check. You know, I thought he was going to make me get it.
Why would you ask that question? Would you ask that question?
No, I probably wouldn't ask that question. I don't really. Not my business. I don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
But I guess he's, because Sauce is, what, on his rookie deal, but he's a high pick, so he makes a good amount. But, and Rodgers is going to make, what, $150 million next year?
I work on a radio salary, and sometimes I pick up the check for dinner. What's the big, fat, hairy deal? Who cares?
I mean, I'm sure they were just hoping to get it. They'd say no, and then Sauce would say that he paid for it, and then that'd be a thing. But I would expect Rodgers to pick it up.
It'd be a thing, I guess. It's over the top, really. I'm rolling my eyes at the Jets. And all I can think of is maybe hold back a little bit. We're starstruck because he's at practice. How are we going to focus and concentrate if we're starstruck over our quarterback?
I ain't going to lie to you. I was kind of starstruck at first because like we warm up right next to each other.
Oh, my gosh. Not that. I'm going to pull a hammy right next to Aaron Rodgers.
Don't worry about getting better and practicing, improving. Check out Aaron Rodgers.
That'll come at some point in August. Who cares? It's May. All right. So then, what's the vibe? Just the question alone. With Aaron Rodgers at practice, what's the vibe, Sauce?
Man, it's great. You know, just being able to just see what he do.
Soak in his aura.
You know, I always just catch myself just watching him. Just watching how smooth he looks and how he make it look effortless, you know. Yeah, man.
It's not just like it's one guy either. Robert Saleh, he's bouncing off the walls. We know. I mean, he first loved Zach Wilson before Zach Wilson was lovable. And now it's all about Aaron Rodgers. I'm starstruck. We have lockers next to each other. Oh, I just want to be in his shadow. That's actually what Sauce Gardner said. It was so much fun to be in his shadow at MSG.
They're going to line up week one and be like, oh, wait, we don't know any plays. We forgot to practice. We're all just looking at Aaron.
All right, you ready for a corny Star Wars joke that I absolutely love? Are you ready? Okay, this comes from Bob on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Happy Star Wars Day, Amy. How does Darth Vader like his toast? On the dark side.
Nice. Nice.
Beautiful. He actually sends us a photo of him wearing a t-shirt that says, May the 4th be with you. I've realized I have no Star Wars clothing. No, I lied. You gave me Mandalorian socks for Christmas.
Yes, I did.
But this May the 4th is more about the originals. I don't know. I need a t-shirt. Someone give me a t-shirt. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom! Boom!